share something that Sheila shared with me today. I failed to mention earlier. She said that she and Jim were passing out tracts out in Montana, and she gave a tract to this man, and a lot of times she says, I give out tracts, and they don't even want the tract, or they don't really seem to be excited to get it at all. And she said he was the type of guy that just looking at him, you wouldn't think he'd be excited. But he said, well, what is this? And she said, well, it's a tract, and it talks about Jesus. And he talks about how Jesus came to die to pay the penalty for your sins. And he read the tract, and she said, as she and Jim were walking away, he was running over to his friend, and he says, look what I've got. I've got some stuff that tells us all about Jesus. Here, why don't you want it? You want to read it too? And she was so excited to see how excited he was to have gotten a tract. And sometimes we don't understand that just passing out a little tract and taking a few minutes to share the gospel with someone, it can be transforming to their life. So I trust that you'd continue to pray that they'd have more opportunities. I know that Sheila and Jim love to pass out tracts and share the gospel with people as they travel and go around. And then pray that we'd have opportunities to do that as well. This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. Come to Exodus chapter 16. And oftentimes in our lives, we can become very disgruntled very quickly when things don't seem to go our way and when it appears that things aren't happening the way we want them to happen. That's exactly where the nation of Israel is at this time in their journey, and they haven't even gotten that far. They are just going between Elim. We talked last week they were at Elim. That was the place where there were the palm trees with the wells, and that God had given them a time of peace and rest after he had provided a water for them in the wilderness, where he turned the bitter waters into sweet waters. And we said that it's really a picture of what happens for us as Christians. When we come to the cross, we're caught in the bitterness of sin, and Jesus delivers us from the bitterness of sin into experiencing the sweetness of his forgiveness, and then he brings us into the rest of a fellowship with him. That's exactly what the Lord had done for the nation of Israel, as we saw last week, and now they're on the road again, and they're moving again. And they've got this big band of people, and they're moving from Elim down towards, or heading towards what will be Mount Sinai, where the Lord is going to meet them. And so God is bringing them, they're going, and I didn't put the map up tonight, but if you had the map up there, you'd see that they'd be going down along it would be the eastern, the northeastern coast of the Red Sea, down towards where Mount Sinai, through the desert of what is referred to as Desert of Sin, today in the nation of Israel. Let's take a look at chapter 6, and we're going to see what happens to this people that oftentimes can become hard-hearted, stubborn, and disgruntled. It says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation and the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departure out of the land of Egypt. Now, I just want to pause here. They haven't been gone that long. It's only been 2 months. And during that period of time, they've already had a couple of experiences where, woe is me, woe is me. Have you ever had anybody that's like that? The minute there's a problem, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And then all of a sudden, God provides for them, and it's, everything's wonderful, everything's wonderful. And then the next day, something happens, the sky is falling, the sky is, well, that's kind of what the nation of Israel was. In the space of 2 months, they've seen God deliver them out of the hand of Pharaoh. They've seen him miraculously get them across the Red Sea. They've seen him destroy the armies of Pharaoh and kill Pharaoh himself in judgment. They saw them come into the land. They saw the Lord provide water for them miraculously. They've seen them hear and answer Moses' prayers. But yet we see again, as they come here, they see a need, and instead of turning to the Lord, they begin to complain. And one of the things that we need to learn to do, and I need to learn to do, because I can't point at you without pointing 3 fingers at me, is that I need to be more turning to the Lord and crying out to Him in a time of need, instead of looking at the situation and start saying the sky is falling, everything's terrible. And it says the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. This seems to be something that they can do very well. One of the very things, a few things that they seem to do well, and that is they seem to murmur. And murmur means to grumble, it means to complain, it means that you have nothing good to say, and you don't look at what God is doing, but instead you only look at your situation and say, it's terrible. And when you murmur against somebody, you're not happy with them, and you are blaming them for things they really can't have no control over. Moses has no control over the water. Moses has no control over their deliverance. Moses, as we're going to see in a moment, has no control over the food. It's all going to be the Lord's provision and the Lord, Moses leading the people in trusting in God. God wants his people to go and learn to trust him and see that he is the God who can deliver in their time of need. Some of the things that God wants each one of us to learn is that he can deliver in our time of need, and that we're to call upon his name and not to murmur. Well, these people were murmuring. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died in by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, they're not only murmuring against Moses, but they're also blaming him for what's happening, and they're saying it's his fault, and his whole intent was to bring them into the wilderness to kill them. And they long and remember the flesh pots. What are flesh pots? They're pots full of meat that they had in Egypt, and also all the bread they had in Egypt. In other words, they had all the food they wanted in Egypt, but they failed to remember that food wasn't as plenteous as they remember, and it wasn't as good as they remember, because they were slaves. And remember what Pharaoh had done? At the end, he had even taken the materials that they needed to make bricks away from them and then demanded they make more bricks than they'd been making. He made life so impossible that it was impossible to live. And yet, they longed to go back to that. That's how foolish we can become. Instead of walking as children of faith and looking at the circumstances and saying, I wonder what God's going to do to deliver me out of this situation or to meet my need here. I wonder how I'm going to see the hand of the Lord work in my life at this time. Oftentimes, we can become like the nation of Israel and begin to blame others. One of the things that is amazing to me when we go up to Winnipeg every year for the prophecy conference in Winnipeg, Rob Lindstedt is there, and he is an amazing man because God has placed upon his heart to start schools and Christian ministries and sharing the gospel in nations all over the world. And he's got schools in Burma, which is Myanmar now. He's also got schools in Haiti. He's got works in South America, and he's done works in Russia and in other places around the world. And God has blessed him richly. And to hear this last time, he was talking about Myanmar. And in Myanmar, they have to rent their buildings, and it costs them a lot of money to rent the buildings. And so the Lord laid on their hearts that they should buy some land. They bought some acreage outside of the city, and the government wasn't giving them a permit to build on this land that God had provided for them. And so they've been praying that God would give them that permit. And he said that I don't know if it's a premier or a president in Myanmar, but it's a woman who holds that office. He said she came to the school this last year to one of their programs, and she heard the gospel, and she talked to the children. And he said then later on, his daughter just emailed him and said that there'd been movement now towards allowing them to gain the permit to begin to build on the land, so they can build their school. And it would, even when they build the school, it will still be less that they'll spend than they're currently spending for the rent right now. And they need the room. And so just pray that that'll happen. But to see how God answers and how God has answered many needs that Bread and Honey Ministries have had over the years and that Rob has felt led by God to do. Well, that's a man who's walking by faith. Moses was a man who God had taught to walk by faith. He'd taken him 40 years in the backside of the desert to teach him to walk by faith. Now he's going to take the whole nation of Israel through the desert so they can learn the same lesson. The only problem is they're not very fast learners like we oftentimes are not. And instead they're complaining. And they're complaining because they're hungry and they're blaming Moses for bringing them out there to die because they can't remember from 2 months ago what had happened in Egypt. And oftentimes our memories are that short too. And it says here, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And so God is going to provide for them, but it's also going to be something that is going to make them proof whether they are going to believe and whether they're going to be people who walk by faith and believe his word, or whether they're still going to be mumblers, complainers, and groaners and try to do things in their own strength instead of trusting God. Again, all I have to do is look at myself and I see of Israel and the Israel people often, very often. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And so they're only supposed to gather each day for what they need. And he's going to tell them how much it is per person that they need later on here. But on the sixth day, they're supposed to gather twice as much. And why? And Moses said, and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know what that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are ye? Are we? For your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And I just pause here. Oftentimes, when I complain about something that's happening in my life, I complain about something that someone may be doing to me, I complain about something that may be happening, who am I really complaining against? Moses says, the Lord. And really that's true. Because I'm saying, well, God, you're putting me in a situation that you don't know, that I need to have a better situation than this. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't have this happening to me in my life at this time. And I will deflect and I won't come right out and say that you're the cause of it, so I'll blame them. Isn't that what a lot of people in our country are doing right now? They don't like what's happening, so what do? They blame people, they blame this person, they blame that person, instead of really understanding that they're blaming God because they don't want to be satisfied that God is their provider, that they are to worship the Lord, and that God will make provision for them and meet their needs. This is the nation of Israel, and he's teaching us, as Paul says, as an example for our lives. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh and be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. I pause here for a second. During the 40-year wandering in the wilderness, this is one of two times that God provides a lot of quail for them. There's only two times. Otherwise, the whole time, they're going to be eating the bread of heaven, which we're going to see in a moment that they're going to name manna. And for 40 years, that's their diet, except these two times when God provides them quail at the beginning, and he provides them quail towards the end. But in between and all through until they get to the land of Canaan, it's manna. Now this food is an amazing food. I've shared with you before in some of the other messages. If you stop and think about it, this was one item of food. They didn't have vegetables. They didn't have, when I was in school, in high school or junior high and high school, we used to have health class. And it really was health class back then. They told you what to eat, how to take care of your body, what to do to stay healthy. It wasn't the nonsense that they've got in school now that they pass off as health class, which is really mind control and values clarification and changing your values. That isn't what we had. We actually heard that there was different food groups that we were supposed to eat, and we were supposed to eat something from each food group, and there's some food groups that were more important than others. Fruit and vegetables were two food groups. Those were two of the most important food groups. Meat was another food group. You were supposed to have some out of that because there was protein. Then you were supposed to have dairy. That was the fourth food group, and you were supposed to have lots of dairy. Then there was another food group, which was called sweets and sugars and that, and you weren't supposed to have as much of that because you didn't need as much of that because that wasn't as good for your body. But you definitely needed these other food groups, and then there were subcategories within the fruits and vegetables and all of that. Well, if you stop and think, the nation of Israel was going to go for 40 years having no fruits and vegetables and only meat on two occasions, and that was a long ways apart from one another, and then also not many dairy products, evidently, because they did have cattle, so they could have had some milk that they would get, but they didn't have anything really to supplement their diet except they had this food, this bread from heaven. If you can imagine that bread from heaven, what it must have been. It would satisfy your hunger. It would meet all your physical needs. It would take everything that your body needs to continue to function. And the amazing thing is God performed so many miracles for them, and yet they were constantly murmuring and grumbling. And yet we see that this is a great miracle that he was going to perform. And it came to pass that at the even, the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And so this was the bread of heaven that God had said. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given to you." Now, they said it is manna, and better, the word manna means, what is it? That's a pretty amazing name to call this that they had never seen before, didn't know what it was. So they called it manna. What is it? That's what they were saying. Manna, manna, manna. So they're going to be eating, what is it, for 40 years. And every time they'd see it, they say, have some manna, or have, what is it? When you've had something that you don't know what it is, that's probably what is it? Well, that's what they were calling, what is it? And when the...